Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. We've started out on Saturdays. We missed you the last couple weeks on Saturdays. We played the Friday Frenzy. Sports Talk Saturdays coming back now as we get this thing in full gear. Thank you very much to the first show that started out today, the Doc Talk Podcast with Dr. Greg Roscoe. Raj Malik was on there talking about, the surgeries and stuff like that. And, boy, I'll tell you, we are so blessed with this network to keep getting great, great people coming around. But that's for yesteryear. This is for now as we move this thing in, as we pick up steam. Here's truly Mark Mancini producing it. Sidekicks Bruce Kessinger in Oakland. Scott Morgenroth in South Florida. 347-205-9631. 120 of you up there right now. We'll get to everybody's question. And I see you, Miguel. You're over there singing the Dodgers rule. And, okay, well, I don't know what you're smoking or doing this early in the morning. We'll find out. But the Dodgers are going to be hard-pressed to win 85 games. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So, Bruce, as I give it over to you and Scott, while I come back in 30 minutes of manning these boards, take it away, my friends.
Okay, will do. Thank you, Mark. I guess we can start. We can start with football, baseball. Which way do you want to go, Scott?
Well, you lead the way, my friend, and I'll go out there and follow your lead. How's that sound?
All right. But, I mean, baseball, it's like, I mean, of course, we have the awards, and I think that they are justified for the people that got them. That would be Alcantara, Verlander, Judge, and Goldschmidt. I've heard rumors about people signing elsewhere. I know the Giants re-signed Jock Peterson. They're letting Longoria go. And there's rumors abounding. I'm not really excited with who they're going after. Anything going down in Florida that you're interested in?
Well, yeah. I mean, you said it yourself. Sandy Alcantara may not have gotten the start at Dodger Stadium for the All-Star game, but he got the hardware here in South Florida, the first Marlin ever to win a Cy Young Award. And I'm glad that that occurred in Don Mattingly's final year at the helm. Don Mattingly certainly pushed him hard, you know, I mean, push him hard, but he had like six complete games, and he was a workhorse with 228 innings. So I'm really happy for Sandy. I've talked to him a few times, and he's certainly a cornerstone of this franchise. I just hope the Marlins can keep a competitive club around Sandy, but well-deserved by Sandy. I mean, this guy here, Bruce, is an innings eater. He can old-school type of pitcher who can go some innings, and I'm really happy that he got the honor, and I hope it's certainly not the last one, but more power to Sandy, really. And I should point out, too, that I'm writing a story for the South Florida Tribune talking about Don Mattingly as well. That'll probably be out any day now in the next couple of days, talking about Alcantara himself as well as Don Mattingly and a lot of other things. So I'll let everybody know when it gets released. But it should be up in the next few days. There's a lot of good videos on there. One of them was Tommy Hutton. Don Mattingly, a couple of clips there of him as well. So, you know, it's pretty cool. But, no, I'm really proud of Sandy Alcantara so that he can continue to build on what he's accomplishing. But he's off to a great start. I didn't care about the fact that he didn't get a start when Clayton Kershaw was a popular guy in Dodger Stadium, but he got the hardware. And that's something that he can live with for the rest of his life, knowing he's a Cy Young Award winner. You know, and I'm happy for Justin Verlander, too, who notched another one for the Astros. Now, he's going to come cheap. Do you think he's going to get 3 years, $130 million? No. But
no.
Welcome to try.
I was kind of surprised that he decided to do what he did and opt for free agency. Yeah, Alcantara was excellent.
I'm not surprised that he opted for free agency. His price tag might be a little bit high, Bruce. I mean, without a doubt. But, you know, hey, listen, yeah. He's opting for free agency. What's the worst case scenario? He goes back to Houston and makes, even if he makes $100 million, you know, it's still an upgrade over a one-year $25 million deal, which isn't bad money if you can earn it. So,
Indeed. So I heard that Bellinger signed free agent, but I don't know where, and that's the only one I've heard of so far. Do you know where that was?
Well, why did he sign? Did he sign already? I haven't heard. All I know is they not tendered him. I haven't heard any more outside of that. I mean, that was a report that was 17 hours ago. So no, I haven't heard anything.
Okay,
that they'll be a demand for
just trying to
I don't think he's gonna get the money that he wants. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's been on
I was just trying to confirm that. Okay, well, so moving on, I guess, because there isn't that much baseball to talk about aside from the awards. The football season.
Funny, Bruce.
What's that?
Here, you know what, Bruce? You say there's not a lot going there. Let's have a little fun with this, okay? Let's talk
about
some
of
the players. Sure, if you want to talk about players that were non-tendered or tendered, let's go ahead and have a little fun with this thing. I'm just looking down the list right now, and let's see. Let's go to your neck of the woods out in San Francisco. I mean, you know, I don't care. I think it's – in fact, I want to stay in my neck of the woods here in Miami. Because this is important, we have a – go ahead.
Yeah, well, let's see. We decided to keep Jock Peterson for a $20 million contract, I believe, for 1 year. I was kind of shocked at that. I guess they're the names that came up, Bellinger was one for the Giants, and there was another one. But I neither one impressed me as anything that's going to really help our team get any further. I mean, a big splash would be, of course, Aaron Judge, but I think the Yankees, as usual, will probably outbid the situation. And, again, I think that the Giants will be looking to their farm system. I don't know whether Carlos Rodon is going to come back or not. I know he did the opt. So as of right now, unless some big splash comes up, I'm looking at another near 500 season for the Giants.
Well, a couple interesting names to watch Miami, though. And I know he's been talked about in trade talks. Pablo Lopez has been tendered, getting $5.6 million. I know Marlins talked about moving him for hitters. And another name to watch out for, though, is Brian Anderson, who was non-tendered at $5.2 million. The Marlins are certainly looking to shave off a little bit of payroll, but we'll see which other ones out there will end up. The All-Star Garrett Cooper was actually tendered, and he's at $4.1 million. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what players move. I think this is a time of the year where it does tend to get a little interesting. As for my hometown Detroit Tigers, one name to really watch out for, and I think he's underperformed a little bit too, is Jamer Candelario. You know, at $7 million, he was acquired by the Tigers and a Cubs trade a few years back, and you know, we'll see. I mean, but again, this is a time of the year where I think baseball does get interesting, Bruce, as a lot of guys go ahead and change teams, you know, to see what you're going to do for next year. I know Mark was talking about the Dodgers. You know, I obviously doesn't seem to care for him anyways, but Bellinger was non-tendered, his play has been declined. Walker Buehler was tendered. So, you know, again, when you just continue to look down some of these names, and you know, and to me, I'm just looking at the Yankees or the Mets. Well, here, let's go with the Mets, okay? Pete Alonso was tendered, and the Marlins made a trade with the Mets to bring over Eliezer Hernandez and Jeff Brigham to bolster their pitching staff. So, and we'll go to the Yankees before we move on to other topics. You know full well that Judge is a free agent. We'll just see where he lands. I have a gut feeling when it's all said and done, he stays with the Yankees. But might as well test what the market is. And I don't see the Steinbrenners ever losing a player due to money unless they actually really want to leave. That's just me. So.
I agree with you 100% on that. And then just to amuse the public, I think one of the A's, the A's are looking maybe to move their catcher, Sean Murphy. That's really the only news out of Oakland so far, except the usual squabbling between the politicians and everybody as to where to put the new park.
Right.
So that's that on the A's.
Well, isn't Billy Bean moving to a different role? I think he's stepping down after 33 years. So he's going to take a more of an advisory role out of the limelight or whatever. And well, might as well. I mean, the situation is in such deep flux anyway, but you might as well. I mean, you know, it won't get straightened out until they figure out where they're going to wind up, whether it's Vegas or get a stadium. Let me ask you a question. I'm really curious now. Okay, now that the elections are gone, where does that stadium situation really stand in Oakland? Are they at an impasse about who's going to pay for it? Because I haven't heard any more about the situation in Vegas that they said they're not using any public money, but there's a lot of bannering back and forth.
Yeah, and I think that's all is bannering. Of course, it's all a new regime. The mayor, Libby Schaaf, was termed out, so you've got a new mayor in Lauren Taylor who hasn't brought that up, really. He's been running on crime issues and things like that. So it'll probably heat up soon enough. You've got a couple of new city council members. So I don't think any word is going to come up for another month or so until everybody's settled in and maybe they've talked to Dave Cabal about the situation. It's difficult. You know, it's frustrating for me and in my belief that where the stadium should go and where it shouldn't go, and they're dealing with the same thing. So I don't expect any answers or any word about this for another month or so.
Okay, I was just curious. Anybody would know more about it. It would be you live in the area. So, I hear sources back and forth all over, but you happen to live there. So I will take you as a reliable source to anybody that's not in that particular area.
Yeah, it hasn't been mentioned in the papers for a bit, and nor have I heard much being talked about on the radio, except that they may be trying to move Sean Murphy. That's about it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm trying to think of anything else baseball because I've been so immersed in football and stuff.
Everybody.
Yeah. So
everybody's immersed.
I'm sorry, what was that, Scott? I mean,
everybody's immersed in football right now. As we speak on my big screen, I'm watching Michigan against Illinois, and Michigan, we all know, faces Ohio State next week. So I think the Wolverines know they can't look ahead to Ohio State
right.
when you have Illinois there. So, I mean, you know, everybody's all geared up, you know, in the Midwest, even though I live in Florida right now, Michigan and Ohio State will always be the number one rivalry in my mind. And for good reason, they're two iconic programs and they always play the final game of the year to decide something when Michigan's had a few down years before Harbaugh came in, but you know, it's great to see the Michigan Ohio State rivalry doing well. And of course, Miami Hurricanes take on Clemson later. And I've been following the Canes all year and Miami's trying to become bowl eligible. And you know, for whatever it's worth, Florida Atlantic University Owls are taking on Middle Tennessee, and FAU under Willie Taggart are trying to become bowl eligible as well. So, you know, a little bit of stuff in our neck of the woods. So, I don't know. Yeah, football will definitely consume you, let alone with the NFL situation, which we haven't even touched on that yet.
We'll be getting to that. Yeah, right here, it's like it's the big game, and the only thing that's being celebrated here is the 40th anniversary of the play. which is always fun to watch.
Which is always fun to watch
over and over and over again. And of course, me being a Cal fan, and that John Elway's last collegiate game. Around here, I guess you might say USC looks like it's the class of the Pac-12. I do believe that they're. I heard something, but I'm going to try look more up about it. Where there is some sort of lawsuit going on to try to keep the teams here that were planning to go to the, I believe, the Big Ten.
Good luck. It'll never happen.
Yeah.
No
money's going to win that one out. You also had an interesting election here as far as politics were concerned, where the mayor of Santa Clara, who was outspent by the 49ers 8-1, won the election, and she was getting ripped by the York family and stuff. And this is where money actually did not buy the election. And cause there's been, there's been arguments about where they put parking lots, money, all of that stuff. So this will get interesting, with the York family and the mayor, who still held her position after being attacked mercilessly and outspent 8-1. It's one of those things where you start to believe in the system a little bit, you know?
Yeah, but you know what, Bruce, if anybody thinks that lawsuit has any merit about UCLA and USC going to big, the only one that'll win is the lawyers. It'll never happen. That's already been negotiated.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen in that situation. If there's, I ultimately see the Big Ten adding 2 to 4 more teams on the West Coast. I think California and Stanford would probably be logical choices to keep them there. Or other ones that you'd be looking at would be Oregon and Washington as well. So I could actually see, you know, more movement. But right now, that's something that they'll work out down the road. There's no way, I don't think long-term USC and UCLA would be, you know, traveling coast to coast without any kind of a West Coast president, but they had to get that one done. So the only one Bruce will win there will be the lawyers because they're going to make a couple bucks. Otherwise, don't hold your breath. We all know that college football is headed towards super conferences. I wouldn't be surprised to see Miami and Florida State be possibly Big Ten candidates. You know, there's just so much movement. So we all know where it's headed. When one domino drops the other one, we know Texas and Oklahoma are headed to the Southeastern Conference. So it's inevitable, man.
Yeah. Indeed. And then we have now the newly going to the NFL, the Miami Dolphins, the Jets, the Bills, and then all of a sudden this is turning into the hot conference. And I'm seeing offensive numbers out of Miami that we haven't seen for the last few years. You think it's the coach?
No, I think it's a combination. I mean, here, I'll give you three, four reasons why Mike McDaniel is getting along with two of Brian Flores couldn't do. Then if you add Tyreek Hill, and then, by the way, Jalen Waddle is pretty good in a halfway decent running attack. You ought to know a couple of them from the Bay Area. You have Mostert and then Jeff Wilson. You know, you have a combination of things. Who in their right mind would not be relevant if you had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in your backfield, really? I mean, so, yeah, they're bringing good vibes with Miami. Well, just see if they get in the playoffs and how deep they go. But there's no question, too, and everybody looking over them. The biggest question with Tagovailoa, though, is he has to stay healthy for an entire season. And he's been out for a couple of games. And I think that they were 0-3 in games that he did not play in. And they're 7-3. So Tua Tagovailoa has come a long way as a pro quarterback, without a doubt. And I think he'll continue to make more and more progress under a very offensive-friendly system like Mike McDaniel, that's for sure. And don't forget, Darrell Bevell happens to be the offensive coordinator. So, you know, for the first time in a long time, I think things are looking good for him. They've won 7 games, but, you know, there's still a lot of season left to go.
Indeed. But,
indeed so much, Bruce. I'm going to almost think that you're a resume service. So just kidding with you.
All right, I got
you.
All right, Indeed.com,
I think if you're going to keep using the word Indeed, why don't we see if we can approach them for a sponsor for our show? That way they can go ahead and sponsor Sports Talk Saturday with Indeed, because you're giving these guys more free publicity, and then the royalties can go for both of us. Indeed, call Scott and Bruce anytime you want. Mark Mancini gets royalties as well. Good stuff, man. A lot of dying mouth to do, Indeed. My wife is not there and laughing at me. Where did you come up with that one?
That's very good. I think I came up with it first, but whatever the case.
Well, you did come up with it first. I'm just helping you pat it a little. That's
okay. And I believe me, it was not conscious.
You know what, Mark? Let me tell you something, Bruce. Those are the best kind, man, when they're not conscious, man. When you don't think about it, you think about it. So, no. You know, if you start overthinking broadcasts, what will happen is you're looking for perfection. When they come naturally insane, like a lot of the ones that we do anyways, but between the bum rush and all that other stuff that we throw out there, this is when they're the best, man. There's nothing natural about it. We just let it roll off our tongue, man. I mean, give me another two-liter Diet Coke, Mountain Dews, and I'll be even worse than I am now. And this is early in the morning, man. It's only, what, new? Seriously, man. Indeed.
It's worse here. It's only 9:15, 18 here. So we got the Jets in New England. That'll be an interesting game. Right now my coaches of the year would be Saleh and I would even say your boy down there in McDaniel in Miami and Pete Carroll managing to squeeze 6 wins out of Geno Smith, who I'm still not sold on. And it's speaking of quarterbacks, boy, this is this week has just had quarterback mistakes, and you've had crying press conferences, and wow.
Are you going to leave Brian Daboll out of the discussion for Coach of the Year? Are you crazy, man? Brian Daboll.
I know Daboll's listen. I understand that. I understand that Daboll's done well. Again, I'm going to do a wait and see on the Giants before I go that far.
Not me. They've already got 7. You know the best part about that New York Giants-Lions game, though? Since I live in an area which I call Manhattan South, okay, is I don't have to go to a sports bar. They actually have it on local TV, so I'm winning no matter what because I'm saving my debit card for another day, man. I'm telling you, beautiful stuff. The Lions-Giants on Thanksgiving weekend. My goodness, I don't have to go out and spend money on this thing. I get to watch it at home. some place I'm kind of getting acquainted with. I haven't done that a lot in the last 2 weeks. You know what it's been like to be home for 2 weeks in a row in my own bed? Although that'll change next week, next few weeks when I hit the road. But, you know, I've enjoyed this time home. I actually, you know what I had, my week has been like? I've actually had to tell myself I am not leaving the house this week or even 10 days. I'm not going to do it. I won't put no mileage on my vehicles or nothing. All I'm going to do is everything remotely and not have to leave because come holiday time, I'll be back on the road again, my friend. But no,
okay.
What I like about
the Giants is it's good to see Saquon Barkley healthy because I think he's a great back when he's on and he's not hurt. I'm sure that's helping them immensely.
So let me ask you a question. What are your thoughts about Jeff Saturday being named the interim coach of the Colts? I mean, certainly took it on your old Raiders team for sure. I mean, let's face it, the Raiders, we know it's a train wreck anyway. But Jeff Saturday came off the scratch to get him a win.
Yeah, I've heard enough of Bill Cowher. Like, there was the Bill Cowher speech, which was where he was completely disgusted with it. And he mentioned that they had guys waiting in the wings, and that included Gus Bradley. And it's like, I wouldn't have hired Gus Bradley. He didn't do well at Jacksonville. I think he needed
some.
The jury's out. But speaking of interim coaches, you know, the mistake, the Raiders made a mistake, and this mistake is huge. It's like they didn't keep Rob Piasecki or whatever. I think that's his name.
Bruce, I've been saying that all week on every show I've been on. I cannot believe that Mark Davis had a guy there that, to me, last year saved the season when Gruden left. That, to me, is the biggest boneheaded thing. He was looking for the sexy pick when he had the right guy in the building, and why he ended up letting Rich Piasecki go, to me, is a indeed million-dollar question. Okay, that's the number.
Well,
I just couldn't understand the logic behind it, or lack thereof.
I thought the players responded to him last year. They made the playoffs, something the Raiders don't do that often. And you're looking at a situation, and this is another rumor. I had heard from somebody that the reason he's going to keep McDaniel is that he doesn't have much money now. You look at a McDaniel too, and it's like he could have had the job at Indy, and then he went backed out before Frank Wright got the job. I would think that, you know, people would lay off that kind of guy. You had Derek Carr just crying on television the other day. You're looking at a defense that is non-existent, and they're rumored to be cutting one of their high picks under the Gruden administration. That would be Cleveland Farrell. They already got rid of Jonathan Abram. And if you want to go through the history of Mark Davis as well, it's just like, this guy is bad business.
Do you really think I care about Derek Carr crying? Seriously, I don't even care. That, to me, is a bunch of baloney.
I don't care about Derek Carr crying. In fact, I saw a couple of amusing little things there where they had some little satire there where there was Derek Carr in a rather sexy suit and an ad, and in the background it said, Derek Carr, cologne for men when you don't want to score. And then there was another one with a picture of Allegiant Stadium from the inside. It said, the only place in Vegas where the house loses.
I'll give Derek Carr some advice about crying. If he wants to land an endorsement deal with an eye company, okay, whether it's tears or whatever it is, I don't know what they have out there, it's for dry eyes. Tears, that'd be a good way for him to go out there and start crying. Then he gets paid to cry, for crying out loud. But all this business that he was crying to me, I've seen Academy Awards in Hollywood more interesting than what I saw there. I mean, let's face it, Derek, your team is bad. You got Devontae Adams from the Packers, who definitely need him. So you have a lose-lose situation with Adams and with the Raiders and Devontae Adams. Of course, you want to bring up Aaron Rodgers, okay? Aaron Rodgers wrecked the Packers season because he didn't show up at OTAs earlier this year to get acquainted with his new targets. I mean, and by the way, he's only getting paid a lot of money to lose football games. So, you know, to me, all this business about Derek Carr crying, yeah, some guys aren't working hard. I give me all that showmanship. Maybe when his career is all said and done, he could go to one of those hotels in Vegas out there and put on a show like a lot of these entertainers do. Anyhow, so to me, I think it's just comical, but stupid nevertheless. So,
it's
a lot of money.
The organization is comical. I mean, and being somebody who, although there's still people here in Oakland that care about the Raiders, but to me, this is laughable. I'm not one of those guys. When they moved, I mean, I was at, it's like, you know, second time, you know, screw you guys. You're going to Vegas. You've got him. And Mark Davis is just a bad owner. You've seen him fire. He fired Del Rio in the first year of a 4-year contract to hire Gruden for $10 million a year. And then he has Passaccia, you know, correct the situation and then says, well, nice work, guy, but here we're going to put this guy in and you're 2-7. It to me is like, you know, just desserts, and Mark Davis makes bad decisions. I think that, you know, he's not going to be holding on to that team for much longer, and his glory is going to be WNBA championships.
You don't think that he'll be holding on to that team with all it took to get him there? Well, of course, if he can sell it for a good amount of money, why not? I mean, you think he's that broke? I don't know. I mean, now I'm asking you a question. Being from the outside, I know.
Here's where I'm going to go with a lot to get him. Yeah, Vegas sold their souls, basically. That was a deal that was very favorable for the Raiders. But you're looking at, as far as ownership is concerned, Mark Davis is probably the guy who did have the least money, especially when he was in Oakland, because most of the other owners have other businesses where they make their millions and then they buy the team.
Right.
Al was pure football. He worked his way through the top and then became managing general partner. He was not in the, I wouldn't say he was in the billionaire category even. So whatever Mark Davis got was not billionaire money. And that's why I think he wanted other people to build stadiums for him. He wasn't going to do it for us. He wouldn't even take any help. And then he went to San Antonio and stuff. So I do think he's probably the poorest, put a quotation mark there.
I've heard that. Okay. No, I'm not going to say I'm totally ignorant that he's definitely the poorest owner of the group because you have a bunch of billionaires. Now, I know that, and Vegas wanted an NFL team bad enough, and they certainly built it for him. But, again, though, but that Oakland situation, stadium-wise, has been going on, again, for many, many years. And at some point or another, I think the Raiders' biggest mistake, truthfully, was when they left Los Angeles instead. They should have stayed in L.A. They had that market all of it to themselves, and then they chose to go back to Oakland. That's what I thought. They produced the Super Bowl championship in L.A., but now all of a sudden we know how things turned to where the Rams and the Chargers are in that market, and now the Raiders were forced to go somewhere else. So I think Oakland was negligent by not getting a stadium. And I remember covering a Super Bowl. I've covered 4 Super Bowls anyways, and that stadium issue was always on the commissioner's agenda for many, many years until it resolved itself in time. So, yeah, I do know that Mark Davis is certainly the poorest owner, and I would think the question is how badly he wants to let the franchise go. Bear in mind, if Daniel Snyder gets the right offer, you know he's going to make a lot of money off of the Commanders / Redskins, whatever you want to call them, and of course he has no choice. It's not like Mark Davis has done as much to ruin the game of football in terms of his, you know, working environment. He just simply doesn't know what the heck he's doing. That's all. Letting one good coach go and then bringing on a guy that he thinks is an upgrade that turns out it doesn't work out well. I mean, owners make bad decisions in terms of coaching hirings all the time. So I'm not going to totally hold that on Mark Davis, but sometimes when you bring in certain players, they underperform, maybe the coach, you know, but yeah, he can't afford to fire McDaniels. That's for sure. Because, you know, you're paying this guy to do nothing. So it's got to give him at least a couple years to try to do something. But, you know, again, you're in the Oakland area. That stadium has been a dysfunctional situation for the longest time anyway. One team left, another one's on the verge of going. So, you know, I mean, Oakland has to accept some accountability if they want to keep teams in the area. Of course, I don't view the situation with the Warriors as a big deal. All they did was move across the bay. It's not a big deal. Not like the area lost a team. at all. And you still have the Giants if they want MLB bad enough. So, and the Giants certainly seem to be run really well out there. So it's just one of those situations where when you talk about money, yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the money, but he certainly thought he had enough when he brought Devontae Adams in there and got him pennies on the dollar for draft choices. And again, you're talking about a trade between the Packers and the Raiders that turned out to be the ultimate lose-lose situation. Neither team made out on this deal at all.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the thing here is I don't think Oakland has the money to pony up for a stadium, whether that's fair or not.
You ought to know.
Yeah, I don't think we do. I don't think we do. But it's the thing that's sad is it's a great sports town. It always has been. And with the Warriors, they wanted those guys. My feelings are mixed about him leaving Oakland with the Warriors because without those, Lacob and Goober, you wouldn't have the championships. But, you know, and the Coliseum had been renovated, not the Coliseum, the indoor version there, the arena,
right,
had been renovated just prior to them buying the team. So it was still a good venue, but they wanted their own palace, and it's hard to stop that, especially because San Francisco gave them whatever they wanted, and the mayor at the time really wanted to land a sports team because the Niners had moved south. So that's the thing with the Warriors. But Oakland's a great sports town, but alas, there's not the money, and I guess that's what talks. And, yeah,
it is
a broken-down stadium.
Yeah, but I remember years ago, Bruce, when the Detroit Pistons ended up going from downtown Detroit to the Pontiac Silverdome and then subsequently built the Palace of Auburn Hills. I don't have a problem whatsoever with teams locating to the suburbs as long as they're in the general metropolitan area. Zero problem. Hey, listen, no, you got to go where the – I have zero problem with it at all. I just don't.
And I don't have a problem with that either.
No, I mean, come on. It's not like you're they're in the area just because you go – I mean, I dealt with it myself. You think that any NBA commissioner, whether it was David Stern, really cared whether the Pistons moved from downtown Detroit to the Pontiac Silverdome all the way to the Palace of Auburn? He didn't care. They were in Detroit. And it's all within an hour distance. Nobody cares. It's when you leave town.
Sure, you're keeping the city name.
Right. Yeah.
You're keeping the city name.
You're
starting business.
Right. And now the Pistons are back in downtown Detroit anyway, playing at Little Caesars Arena. So it doesn't matter. Commissioners don't care about that stuff. They really don't care at all. They're just mainly concerned that they stay in the general metropolitan area. And I preface the word metropolitan area. And we know Oakland, to me, and San Francisco is a metropolitan area, regardless of what side of the bay that you're on. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, think about
it.
Okay. Well, think about it for a moment. Okay, the A's lease expires in 2024. What are they going to do? You think you could build a quality stadium in 2 years? And let me ask you a question. Since you live there, just say hypothetically that the A's were to get a stadium. Do you think that Rob Manfred's going to let them play in Oakland any longer, or you think he's going to find a way to try to entice them to play with the Giants? I hear the Giants don't want nothing to do with them, but maybe you would know better than I do.
Oh, there's no question the Giants don't. And I would say that, again, this is one where you have a billionaire owner who never shows his face. He should be putting a huge amount of money into building the stadium. But, you know, as it drags on, it's going to get worse, and I do think that Rob Manfred will try to maneuver the team out of town, and he'll get all the cooperation he needs. The guy is not a baseball guy. He should sell the team, but he won't. I don't think so. I think he's the classic greedy owner. So, no, I don't see the day staying here beyond 2024. Not at all.
All right. Well, let's go to some of the chats. I believe that we're talking about Ohio State beating Michigan, and by the way, the Bills playing in Detroit, the home field advantage versus Buffalo. Well, let's get to a few of the comments. Number one, you know, everybody's, you know, Michigan against Ohio State will be next week out in Columbus. Do I think the Wolverines have a puncher's chance? I'd say they have a puncher's chance as long as they can run the football and run it down the Buckeyes' throats and they show versatility. But then again, you know, Ohio State's playing well. I guess if I had to give an edge to a team, I would probably, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, I'd give a lot. I think Ohio State could win by 3 to 7 points. I don't see it being a rout by any means. And in terms of the Buffalo game, Bills being moved over to Detroit, well, sure. I mean, as long as the Bills can get there. But what I think is interesting is that Buffalo playing Detroit, in Detroit against Cleveland, the Battle of Lake Erie. Buffalo plays the Lions on Thanksgiving as well, so it'll be an opportunity for them to stay in the area for 3 to 4 or 5 days to get two games. I think that's the most logical sense. What are your thoughts about both of those?
It's going to be a nice little battle. I always root for Michigan over Ohio State. Always.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good man.
Yeah. I like the state's personality better than I like Ohio's. So we'll go there.
Okay.
We had Charles Woodson here in Oakland for a long time. So, you know, a lot of those Michigan players came over here. Then again, we had Jack Tatum. He was Ohio State.
Jack Tatum. You want to hear an interesting story about Jack Tatum? I got a great one for you. When I got into business back in 1979, we were supposed to have Jack Tatum on WXYZ Sports Talk, which was ABC Radio. And, you know, we were going to talk about the Daryl Stingley thing. He stiffed us and never showed up. That's my memory of Jack Tatum, the assassin. I mean, I didn't care. I happen to actually have a good host at the time, but we just blew it over and just opened the lines up to the fans. We didn't even care. And I looked at the guy. His name was Mike Berry. I'll never forget the time. Mike looks at me. You did a good job managing the board. Okay. I said, yeah, well, Mike said, I got my X amount of dollars per show. And I said, it's no big deal. You know, we didn't have the Lion King back then, Hakuna Matata. But I said, Mike, no worries, my friend. You know, once I knew that this guy wasn't going to show up, we have enough good fans in Metro Detroit that we can get him to talk. And it's like nothing ever happened. So that's my Jack Tatum story there. So, yeah, I mean, I've spoken to Woodson before. He's a really super nice guy. And, you know, hey, listen, I'm go blue all the way. I am. I have no qualms about that at all. Go ahead, continue.
Tatum, I think, liked to avoid that subject. He didn't really want to talk about it ever.
We were going to hit him with some artillery. Yeah, you're right, Bruce. True words can be spoken. He definitely avoided us and stiffed us, but we got through it regardless of the guy. Takes the same invited him back.
I would think not. I certainly remember the Bo Schembechler, Bo Schembechler Woody Hayes rivalry, and actually watching the Woody Hayes game where Rick Leach was quarterback for Michigan then. I don't remember who was Ohio State's quarterback, but they were down 9-3 for the Rose Bowl, and they're on the Michigan 25, and they fumbled and lost it late in the game, and the cameras up panic Woody Hayes, who then throws the newspaper to the ground, then turns around with this maniacal expression, and then he sees, as it was really a maniacal expression. And I'm thinking to myself, as he stares at the camera and starts to move toward him, he's not going to do what I think he is. And he did. He went and slugged the guy on national television. That's one of my memories of Ohio State and Michigan.
Well, actually, I remember the time when Woody Hayes punched a Clemson player on my birthday, and he got fired for doing that from Ohio State. That was the end of him. On my birthday many years ago, if you do the homework and Google it, Woody Hayes punched a Clemson player, and he was fired the next day.
No
part of him at that
point. The linebacker intercepted the pass.
It's not material anyways, whether you remember. The bottom line is Woody Hayes definitely had a huge temper, and toward the end of his coaching career, it actually ended up to me catching up with him, and that's why he was ousted at Ohio State. We all know some of those old school coaches would end up losing their temper, and that was the end result for sure.
Sure, indeed. Well, Buffalo's going to have a Detroit Thanksgiving, huh?
What else is coming in from the chat room? Anything worthwhile that our listeners want to talk about?
I'm still waiting from behind the scenes there on that.
No, that's okay. We continue on. No big deal.
Yeah. I'm trying to come up with so the Rams situation with Stafford back, they're different out of it, I think. even though they're going to play the Saints, Andy Dalton, geez.
You know what? I got something great to talk about. This week, obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles decided to sign Ndamukong Suh to bolster their defense. So I think that's a very important pickup during the midseason. Ndamukong Suh certainly hadn't taken any beating at all this year. He's been waiting for the right situation. At this point in time, I think that could be a pretty decent pickup for the Eagles. I mean, I think the Eagles also, you know, after their Monday night loss to the Commanders, I think losing was a good thing for them. Now they'll eat a little bit of humble pie, and now they can focus on the rest of the season without that undefeated situation holding up against them. So, you know, you talk about turning a negative into a positive. When the ironically, when the Chicago Bears lost to the Miami Dolphins, they finished, I think, 15-1 and went on to the Super Bowl. So losing a game isn't the worst thing. And then by the same token, the New England Patriots steamrolled their way through the playoffs, and none other than the New York Giants beat them and destroyed their undefeated season. So losing a game isn't the worst thing on the planet. So why don't we go ahead and look at some of the
Here we go. We got somebody here. We've got Gary from New Rochelle, New York. He's going to say Jets going to beat the Patriots and stop that streak. Any thoughts? I certainly think it is within the realm of possibility. I like the way Soleil coaches. It is in New England. Zach Wilson is confident. I could see it happening. I want the Jets to win because I'm more Jets than I am Patriots. But let's go Jets. Gary, what do you think there, Scott?
Well, I like Robert Saleh, a guy from Dearborn, Michigan. He was certainly a possible candidate for the Lions job. Decided not to take that job to the Jets. So Robert Saleh is doing a good job. I think the X factor is the fact that the game is being played in New England, and the Patriots have had their number. So there, I would lean toward the Patriots until the Jets prove that they can beat the Patriots. But I look at it as a coin toss, pick 'em type of game. I could see New England winning it maybe 24-21 or something along those lines. I see it being a very close game. I really do. The Jets have come a long way. I like how things are transpiring in New York. You got the Giants winning and the Jets. I think it's good for the Big Apple. I'm happy for the folks out in the metropolitan New York. Let's look at some of the other games, too, that are interesting. Of course, we know that the Buffalo-Cleveland game is then sent to Detroit. We'll look at the Commanders and the Texans. Well, I mean, I got to hand it to you, despite all the adversity that the Commanders are going through, they're still hanging in there. They really are. They're five up, five down. The Texans, well, they got rid of David Culley, brought in Lovie Smith, and it's still a train wreck out there. And they'll be in the quarterback market come.
Oh, he's if there ever was.
And now, here's one that you really like. How about the Raiders at Denver? I mean, everybody talks about Russell Wilson being the miracle worker. Yeah, two teams that were expected to be contenders, and now, as it turns out, they're at the bottom of that division. I think that, to me, is Russell Wilson on the decline. Pete Carroll knew it. No problem. Give me some draft capital. And how are things working out? Well, not
perfectly.
Only does,
that,
yeah,
was
right.
That was robbery.
Yeah, that was
robbery.
So
I'm going to throw this at you. We've got a guest, and you're better at this than I am. So you've got Rick from Spokane, Washington. He says, big games of the Pac-12 today, USC, UCLA, Utah, Oregon. Title game ramifications. What do you think?
You know what? I got to go with USC in this game. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, Lincoln Riley has done a remarkable job is what he's done out there. He really, really has. And you know what? To me, you know, he left Oklahoma to go to Southern California. Lincoln Riley's been a winner everywhere he's gone. So I don't see anything changing there. In fact, I'm looking forward to watching that game tonight. I really, really am looking forward to watching it. I think it'll be a fun game to watch. I really do. So
yeah, I'm with the USC. USC winning that whole thing. What is really going back to the Commanders? What I've noticed is I like Taylor Heinicke. I think he plays with a chip on his shoulders. He's due to like throw an interception or two a game. But in general, I think he's a good quarterback. I like the way he plays.
So does
what about
Ron
you?
Rivera. That's why. So does Ron Rivera. That's why he's going to turn to him as the starting quarterback. The guy is probably the guttiest quarterback in the National Football League. He may not have the height and a lot of the skills, but he's got more determination and a rock solid jaw. And the guy to me is just unbelievable. I really do. So, yeah, I like him. I think he's a fine quarterback. You know, so I think, you know, I really can beat up on Carson Wentz, but, you know, I don't think it's all means to all ends with Carson Wentz. But let's face reality, Ron Rivera's in a situation where he has to be the face of that franchise because of the off-the-field headaches. And, by the way, he still has to win, and he came off an impressive win on Monday night despite the fact that his mom passed away. So, hey, you know what? A1 for Ron Rivera in the guts column. Heineke's a heck of a quarterback. He really is. I still think Washington at some point will upgrade that position. But to me, I think it's that National Football League, the NFC East, to me, has really been a heck of a division to follow. It really has been.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is that, you know Ron Rivera and the whole team are, you know, they're doing this with all the turmoil with the owner and everything. A good job, real good job there. I think they take out Houston, and, you know, that's I've never been much of a Washington fan, but Ron Rivera, of course, went to Cal and stuff, so there's a soft spot in my heart for him. And, again, Heineke's right. Play is really worthy of watching.
I agree.
I didn't see this. I got one of somebody came from got something to come in with something about the Greek Freak and I guess that was Harold getting into a skirmish with a ladder after the game.
That one, Bruce. I you know what, to be honest with you, I don't follow the NBA a whole lot in November.
Yeah.
I think they seem to be moved back into December anyhow, because you have so much going on with football. So I don't get into that stuff. You know, the NBA, when I was covering it back in the day, to me was a lot more fun to watch than anything else. So to me, it's just one of those deals where, you know, stuff happens. It really does. So I wish I could give you more to work with, but the NBA to me isn't worth a lot of my time these days, considering what other alternatives are out there.
Well, it's something I miss. So I was wondering if you knew about it.
A whole lot. All I know is the Warriors can't win on the road. That part you probably know. I think they're, what, 0-8 on the road? Is that what it is?
I can tell you what's wrong with the Warriors, because there was a game plan there that's not working out here. So you let Porter and Gary Payton the third go, and I can't blame Payton or the Warriors on that one. Yeah, him being 29 years old and them having a salary cap. You know, he had to go elsewhere, and he signed for $1 million more a year for 3 years. I understand that completely. Porter went where Porter went. They were expecting Kuminga, what's that?
Well, when you win, it costs you money, okay? Some guys, they got the championship ring. What will end up happening is now that they got the championship ring, it's time to go ahead and have a little bit of security. Indeed. I really like to play that.
Yes.
I would definitely indeed wait for this one. But no, I mean, the reality is guys win a championship. So what happens? They chase the almighty dollar, as they should. You know, you might catch them while their value is exactly as high as it can be.
No objection. The kids just have they were expecting Kuminga and Moody to be a lot better this year. They're not. So that's where they're at.
I think the big question in Golden State is what happened to James Wiseman. Why is this guy in the G League? I don't understand. You know, right now, the way things are going, James Wiseman is a bust, you know, being picked so high and not developing like he has. You know, to me, I'll even put James Wiseman in the Darko Milicic category, where you have a high pick, and all of a sudden, even though he won a championship early, doesn't mean he's going to perform up to the expectations. That's the way I look at it. And to me, Darko Milicic was a bad pick, and they could add Carmelo Anthony. But when you think of the fact that you bring in James Wiseman, you have to wonder at that point who they could have had. And I'm not going to get into that, because that's another show for another day. But
Now
the guy's in the G League. My goodness, solve that riddle.
It's the big question here. It is. As we're going back, I guess we'll go back to the NFL here. What other interesting games do we have coming up here? Oh, the Niners and Cardinals there. What's that?
Well, let's go to them. I'd like to analyze a lot of them. Okay.
Okay.
The Warriors.
Let's go
down the list.
Okay,
let's go to the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chiefs win that just because it's outdoor. I think that they win at home on that one. Chargers play indoors. It's probably going to be cold. I do like the Chargers players and all of that. I'm not sure whether Keenan Allen's going to play because we haven't seen him play all year. I think they need him. KC doesn't rack up the points like they used to, like when they had Tyreek Hill. I do think the Chiefs are going to win that game. I think it might be close, though.
Well, I think the Chiefs will win. I mean, didn't they pick up that player from the Giants, Kadarius Toney, whatever his name is? So they ended up picking up, contributed last week. The one more intriguing game of the week, though, is the Dallas Cowboys traveling to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. And I'll tell you what, if I were going with anybody, I like what the Vikings are doing. They added T.J. Hockenson as a tight end. And Kevin, he's done a really good job there. So, no, the Vikings to me are awfully good. They really are. And, you know, a lot of people may debate me on this, and I'm okay with that. Carolina Panthers at the Baltimore Ravens. I think Baltimore will win, but the Carolina Panthers are showing a lot of heart. That's what they are under Steve Wilkes, who's, you know, the interim guy. And, you know, the 49ers obviously have been a good spot for Chris Affery. But you know what? Who knows if Wilkes will get the job? But I'll tell you what, he's not afraid to fire coaches, trade high-profile players. I believe Baker Mayfield will be the starting quarterback for the Panthers.
Yes, he will.
Walker is out with an injury, and I thought that even Wilkes talked about the probability he'd let Mayfield go until the injury came up. So they don't know what's going on at quarterback. I don't think they know what's going on. But to the Panthers' credit, they have played with an awful lot of heart and no quit. We'll just see where it all lands with them.
And Wilkes didn't. I don't think Wilkes got a fair shake in Arizona either.
Well,
so
he didn't.
More power to him.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any question he got a bad deal out there, without a doubt. And to me, I think it stinks.
Yeah, and I noticed that Dallas was favored in that game with Minnesota, which I find quite stunning. Not that Dallas isn't a bad team or anything, but it's like, really, you're going to go at home, Minnesota?
Come on, Bruce. Dallas aired when they let Amari Cooper out of the building, pal. They did. So, you know, Jerry Jones had a tendency to overthink the situation, and Amari Cooper should never have left. And what do you think happens? They overthought this thing like I've never seen anybody. But, again, who am I to go out there and judge teams for doing what they're doing? You know, I mean, to me, I think you're having another interesting matchup in Atlanta where Marcus Mariota against Justin Fields. Now, I've been impressed with Justin Fields' running ability because he has a supporting cast where he's either running for his life or running for a yard. So that's another situation for another day. But, you know, it's interesting when you look at all the different matchups. You got the L.A. Rams, Matthew Stafford out of concussion protocol. The problem is Cooper Kupp is laid up. So who's going to pick up the slack on the wide receiver? So, you know, it's time of the year where you're heading for Thanksgiving and nobody's thanking anybody for the injuries that are racking up with a sport, which is physical, much less during a 17-game season versus 16. And I think it'll eventually be an 18-game season down the road after they get through this so they can even it out at 18-2 like you used to have in the old USFL as well as the Canadian Football League. So 17, you're going to have 18 and more money. But meanwhile, guys are getting hurt. I know the player spirit, but everybody knows the almighty dollar. Bruce, I want to go back on something if I can, all right? And I want to address the Green Bay situation. They lost to Tennessee. In my opinion, Aaron Rodgers, to me, is the major reason that this team is struggling. And you don't sit here and waffle, let your best player out and not show up during OTAs as well as not participate and get used to your new talent. And to me, he's at fault for, I'd say, 75% of what the Packers' failures are. You put some of it on LaFleur, but Aaron, there comes a point in time where you have to show some accountability. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers has shown enough accountability to really warrant any kind of thing other than major criticism. He made his bet he's going to sleep in it.
Yeah, and he's got another year left on his contract, and he's going to be retiring in Green Bay. I don't know how many people say, oh, he wants out, he's going to go elsewhere. No, he's not. You know, it's too much money, and he's old by NFL standards. And yeah,
retire now. How the heck do you think he can retire now? Knowing that his team is obviously struggling this year. do you want to go out on a low note like this guy's doing? No, at this
He's not going to retire now. He still has another year left on his contract. He's going to finish that up.
Bruce, forget that year on his contract. Do you think a guy with his ego, Bruce, okay, wants to retire knowing that the Packers stunk this year, that he wants to right the ship? That's really what it comes down to. This becomes more of a personal thing if you're a player or a competitor, that you want to go out there and retire on a note. Now you can't retire. You have to go out there and say, hey, you know what? Maybe I need to rededicate myself to collect that paycheck and try to get the Packers relevant. You know, and I think that's what he has to literally do.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, he's looked awful. I've seen a lot of him this year. He's bad. I've seen more balls hit the ground this year that he's thrown than ever. You know, there's no blaming the receivers here. And they're certainly not going to make the playoffs. What can I say? Because they've been there for a long time. Yeah, he does look very bad. And, you know, he does have to right the ship. I don't know if it gets rewritten, that's it. Until next year, you know, if you try to get, I mean, just right now, try to finish at 500 is what I see with that team. I'm sort of disgusted with him. I mean, the whole COVID thing, he just handled that as poorly as he could. What can I say? It's not a good look.
The only thing I learned about the COVID thing is I learned a new word, immunize. I didn't know what the word was, really. I had no idea what immunize was until he decided to go ahead and take his Cal degree and teach me what the word immunize was. I didn't get vaccinated. I mean, come on. If that to me isn't a absolute made in Hollywood about immunize, tell me what the word is, and I'll tell you I took a dumb pill trying to figure the stupid thing out. But he has to show accountability is what he has to literally do. And he hasn't done it this year, but, you know, let's face the reality. But you know what? Let's give credit to the Minnesota Vikings, too, though, okay? Because the Minnesota Vikings have played really well. They brought in a brand-new coach. Kirk Cousins has gotten a lot of criticism in the past, and he's found some adequate targets. And the Vikings deserve to be where they're at. I don't want to ever take from a team that's doing well, especially knowing full well that, you know, I mean, to me, Kirk Cousins – well, it's smarter than anybody. What about all those franchise tags that he took with Washington?
Oh, yeah.
All that guaranteed money. And then he goes to Minnesota and getting a million guaranteed money. For all you people that have a problem with the franchise tag, Kirk Cousins mastered the art of using it, and he used it awfully well. He really, really did. So, you know, more power to him.
Right. And Justin Jefferson is an awesome receiver, no question. And picking up Hockenson. They're loaded on offense. Kirk Cousins has got everything he could possibly want. Then they're going to win the division going away. We'll see how much further it goes in the playoffs. That game with Buffalo, Buffalo dropped the ball, ha ha ha. But still, they played a very good game, and I was very impressed with the Vikings, and I think they will beat Dallas at home.
Yeah, you're right. That was pretty impressive to be able to win in an outdoor stadium in Buffalo, one of the coldest places. Once upon a time, though, very few people have to realize the Vikings used to play at Metropolitan Stadium, and they played years over here in Minnesota out in before their new stadium was being built. So it's not like the Vikings haven't played in cold, but what they did in Buffalo was good. I don't think anybody expected them to win, but, boy, they triumphed pretty well. So I don't know how much time we have in the broadcast. It's been a lot of fun shooting the breeze with you.
Indeed.
That's lovely. Like I said, we definitely have covered a lot of ground here for sure, and I think it'll be a pretty interesting week as we approach the Thanksgiving week. Now, you have a lot of good Thanksgiving games on tap, that's for sure. And, of course, I'll be more partial toward the Lions and the Buffalo Bills. And we'll see what happens with the Buffalo situation. I know I were them, I'd get a nice hotel. They'll be spending time in Detroit when they ultimately get there.
Well, okay. Now, Scott, follow it up. Tell them how they get a hold of you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Bruce. My website, www.southfloridatribune.com. Follow me on Twitter at Tribune South, the South Florida Tribune at Twitter South. But more importantly, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe button. Then you can see all the stuff I do. with Mark Mancini and so forth. So South Florida Tribune YouTube channel, please subscribe for nothing. Thank you, Bruce.
Okay, and I can be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com. And fans out there, the bum run will be starting in within a couple of weeks. So hold your horses. Thanks for listening, y'all, and have a nice weekend.
Thank you, Bruce. Enjoy it, my friend. Thank you.